Okay, listeners, welcome to episode number 118 of the Veeam Community Podcast. Now, we have a special episode here lined up for you folks. So actually, Rick and I are going to co-host this podcast because we're out at the Atlantic Security Conference in Halifax, Nova Scotia, where Rick and I actually put on a presentation about how you shouldn't let your backups be your backdoor to your security.
Yeah, this is an interesting topic, Clint. I know that this is my third time here presenting. And a lot of people are like, well, why would Veeam be doing this type of story or something? And I'm like, well, what's the long-term historical definition of IT security? It's confidentiality, integrity, and availability. So in the broadest sense, it's a natural adjacency. And I love basically telling this story. This is the third year, and I've adapted it every year. It's basically dealing with all the questions I have had from security experts in regards to what we do for backup. Now, it's not a sponsored session. It's a very generic thought leadership, you know, track, and it's very well received. And for those of you around the country, especially in the U.S., there's a Data Connectors series of events, and an adapted version of this presentation is being presented by Veeam engineers across the country. So keep your eye open for that if it hits a city near you.
Yeah, so like I mentioned, this is the Atlantic Security Conference. We're in Halifax, so we have a couple of folks lined up that we're going to chat with you here on this episode of the podcast. But before we get to that, we have some really important news to share with the listeners, and the fact that last week, Rick and I and the rest of the evangelists, so Mike, Luca, Dimitri, as well as Kirsten, who are our coordinators, we were over in St. Petersburg, Russia, deliberating for hours in a conference room on the next round of the Veeam Vanguards. So earlier this week, Rick, myself, Mike, and Luca, we had sent out the accepted nominations. So here in a few weeks, you're going to be seeing on the blog the official announcement of the next round of the Veeam Vanguard program. And for those folks that might not be familiar with the Vanguard program, Rick, why don't you tell us a little bit about what it is?
Yeah, so the Vanguard program is, you know, short answer, it's something that Ratmir told me to do. But basically, it's a influencer program where we look at all different communities and we identify people who really get what we do best, and we've structured a program around it. And last year, so 2015, we launched a program. We had 34 members. This year, with renewals and new nominations, we're going to be up to 52 program members worldwide, mostly Europe and North America, Americas and EMEA, I guess I could say, and then a distribution from the rest of the world, I would say. So it's a great program. Last year, we had the premier program benefit was we took them to VeeamON. This year, the premier program benefit's going to be a little bit different. We don't have Veeam on, so we've got something else kind of lined up. But basically, you know, the Vanguard program are the people who get what we do the best, and we're going to launch the webpage with the 2016 nominees. So right now, we're doing things like getting profile pictures and the bios made up. And then the bigger picture with the Vanguard program and something to watch into next year is we're going to launch this very broad community platform and such. I'm not going to tell you too much about it, but for those that are listening out there, this is going to be a great way for you to engage. I mean, the kind of the top of this program is the Vanguard program, but it's really going to have a comprehensive, broader community focus. So IT pros and such, you're going to have a new Veeam avenue to engage with. So stay tuned on Twitter for all of that. But yeah, Vanguard milestone, big deal. You know, these people, interesting profile selection. They've got all kinds of backgrounds, communities. Some are bloggers, some are active on Spiceworks, some are really active on the Veeam forums. Different products, different backgrounds, different languages, Hyper-V, vSphere, endpoint product. I mean, it's all over the place. So, you know, if you see a Vanguard, they know their Veeam stuff.
And I think that's a great kind of a broad range, Rick, and the fact that, you know, Veeam being a backup solution that's agnostic to pretty much any technology out there, from the networking and storage and even the hypervisor stack, and the fact that we support both vSphere as well as Hyper-V, we have a great range of folks that we can pull from. So we have several vExperts, several Microsoft MVPs, Cisco Champion, NetApp 8 team, all of that ecosystem partners that we work with on a regular basis are eligible to and great folks that we pull from to be participate in the Vanguard program. And so like I said, we are here at the Atlantic Security Conference, and we're going to have several folks join us throughout the course of the podcast.
Okay, we're back. We did the intro already, and now we're going to find some of our interesting people here and do just some quick interviews. And the first one I want to interview is Travis Barlow. Travis, why don't you introduce yourself, tell the listeners what you do, just to the level you're comfortable.
Thanks, Rick. My name is Travis Barlow. I'm the founder of the Atlantic Security Conference. We're a nonprofit set up to drive technology, InfoSec knowledge throughout and make it very affordable to everybody. And that's key to what we do here. It's not about making money. It's about sharing knowledge.
And really, that's what community is all about, is bringing people together and sharing knowledge. So us at the Veeam Community Podcast, we like to go around to these different events and interview folks like yourself to get kind of your take on community, what's important, what's relevant in industry today. Kind of being a security-focused conference, Travis, what are you seeing kind of the big thing, right? What's the most important, the hot topic that's interesting to IT professionals in the security space?
Right now, I think the biggest thing is for the last 5 to 10 years, we've seen the same threats over and over again. Right now, of course, the newest type would be ransomware, which we're all familiar with. Excuse me. However, what the fear is right now is these new threats, ransomware, they're making money. What if somebody actually weaponizes it in a more sophisticated fashion? Okay, which what I mean is they compromise your network, they take out your backups, then they fully encrypt everything, and it's not one or two bitcoins. It's targeted ransom. And we're talking, depending on the size of your organization, they can gauge how much money and revenue you have. What's it worth to you, 100 grand, 500 grand? That's coming. Everybody's worried about this. Everybody right now is being hit by ransomware. It's a scourge, if you will. I love and hate it. I hate it because obviously it's a problem. I love it because people are actually starting to think security now, because it's affecting them right down to their own personal laptops. Control-wise and products and so forth, I'm not seeing a lot of newness out there. I'm not seeing a lot of innovation. I was at RSA conference there in San Francisco 3 or 4 weeks ago. I'm seeing a lot of new interfaces, a lot of new dashboards. I'm not seeing anything magic. There is no silver bullet for this stuff. I think you're going to see the industry move towards more of a hunt-based approach for threats, whether in-house or outsourced. And I think that if we don't see some innovation in the next year or so, we're going to be in for a world of hurt.
So what is the IT pro? What is he doing to protect his environment from ransomware? What are some actions that people could be looking to do to protect themselves?
So the simplest thing usually are the best things. And I'll be honest with you, the mechanisms keep changing in regards to ransomware. So how do they drop the code? Do they do redirects to get it onto via browser exploit to get on your site, on your system? Is it a trusted site they've compromised and launched their attacks from there? What we're seeing, or is it email, by the way? One neat thing we've seen recently is that the newest version, or one of the newest versions of ransomware, is going around. That's really rampant. Uses a .js file, JavaScript file, a WAV file, but it's really a .javascript. So again, simplest being the most effective, one easy thing to do there, if you have a large Windows environment, or even single machine, you can do a large Windows environment via GPO group policy object push. Any .js file extensions, just have them try to open up a notepad. Your average user will not be obviously using a .js file. Mm-hmm. Why would they? So with that in mind, if they open up notepad right off the bat, you take away that risk right there. So that's a little tip for you. Yeah.
You know, you mentioned that innovation. I'd argue that the threats are innovating faster than the solutions. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, Rick, there's no argument there. No. You're dead on. The threats are moving faster than the solutions. The industry's always lagged behind. It's always been reactive. When you try proactive, proactive controls are probably 50, 60% effective at best. And remember, an attacker needs to be right once. You need to be right every time when you're defending.
Take us back to 2011, and if I remember right, is that the first year you hosted this event, Atlantic Security Conference? So this is the fifth and sixth, okay? So, Yeah, thanks. Bad at math. And next year, you're moving over to a new facility. I think we crossed the 500-person mark. I mean, I tell my friends back home, nobody believes me that there's this awesome event in Halifax focused on IT security, and I really enjoy it. Take us back to 2011, I think it was, when you started, and what does the future look like for the event?
Certainly. So 2011 was an interesting year for us. There was no real IT security conference in town. There was no community. There was a loose-knit bunch of people, such as myself, Andrew Cosma, Daryl McLeod. We all knew each other, and we talked shop occasionally, but there was no drive. There was no real push. I realized at the time that I had a training budget of about $3,500 a year, Canadian. So right now, going to the U.S., that wouldn't get me too far in the U.S., but at the time, I had more training budget than anybody I knew. Yet I couldn't afford to go to Black Hat, and I couldn't afford to go see the speakers I wanted and these other conferences. And it was cost prohibitive. So I looked around. I said, well, if I have more training budget than anybody I know, nobody else stands a chance. So what are we going to do? So I kind of convinced my board of directors to join me. We set up. We're not for profit. We're not in to make money. But we set up that first year, and we had, I believe, 40 to 50 attendees in total. One projector on a stand, rickety projector screen. It was not pretty. This year, I'm happy to say we're approximately 500 attendees, plus all of our sponsors and vendors. Lots of media attention this year as well. Next year, we're moving to the new convention center, which is the Nova Convention Center here in town. We're factoring, hopefully, to have around 750 attendees. Slow growth, moderate growth, but I think we're going to be able to do it based on what I'm seeing this year. This year, we've done a couple things different. We aligned with Dalhousie University as well as Nova Scotia Community College. Want to bring some of their people in, doing some partnerships there. We actually have another university in Florida that's interested in coming up next year and taking part. So it's getting interesting. It's going to be a lot of growth.
Yeah, that's awesome, and it's cool to hear kind of the grassroots growth, how the first time that you did this in 2011, you know, you had a rickety projector with 50 people, but they all came for one reason, and that was to share knowledge to the community and also get knowledge back from other folks that are kind of having the same issues and concerns and really try to fix, you know, their environment or learn a little bit more of how ways that they can go back and kind of take the technologies and things around security and implement in their infrastructures. So, you know, you mentioned the Atlantic Security Conference, not for profit. What do you do for day? What do you do by day?
By day, I'm a partner with a firm called Gold Secure. So I'm the vice president as well as the Advanced Adversary Protection Service, which we run here at Halifax. We built from scratch. Our clients are global. Andrew Cosmos is my second NC. He runs the shop. Basically, we detect threats that everybody else miss. We talk to about new threats like ransomware. Threats, the way the industry teaches users or clients is that it's red for bad, green for good. The actual reality is there's a lot of gray in between, if you will, and we're able to go through that gray and find the items everybody else miss. Once we find them, we go into active mitigation, and we do that with my team here. So it's a pure hunt team that we built. This is all we do. We find things that everybody else miss. We displace 100% when we go in with a competitor. We always win. So that's pretty what I do all day long, and day and night, actually, isn't it, Andrew?
Most days.
Yes, yes. 18-hour days is our norm. But we love it. So, you know, we're still working on our first and second marriages, so we're okay for now.
No, that's awesome. And I think the Atlantic Security Conference, this is my first time up here. It's been a great opportunity. It's been a great event. A lot of good discussions around security, data protection, protecting your backups, you know, especially on the Veeam side of the fence. We love participating in community activities like this. So thank you so much, Travis, for having Rick and myself and Kirsten up here. It's been a fantastic event, and we'd love participating in it.
Yeah, and for those attendees, you know, look for next year, or the listeners, I should say, look for next year at AtlanticSecurityConference.com is the website. And ATLSCCON would be what you would find as a hashtag on Twitter. And, you know, those of you listeners, you know, you might think this is a different thing. This natural adjacency, to the historical definition of IT security. What is it? Do you remember? What's that old school definition?
It's confidentiality, integrity, and availability.
That's right.
That's the idea, right.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And that availability strategy, you know, for the Veeam listeners, that's the natural adjacency. So maybe consider checking it out next year. And we've got the new facility lined up. I appreciate the notion of disciplined growth. You know, you don't want to get too far along And even, you know, as I've come here, I've seen it grow and in scale, and, you know, got the events management group in place here. So, you know, Travis and Andy and Daryl are the others. The board is at the three of them. Scott Walsh. They've made, okay, big team. They've made great improvements, and absolutely keep up the good work. Thanks, Travis.
Yeah, so real quick before we wrap things up, Travis, if people wanted to follow you on Twitter, how can they get in touch with you?
Travis_Burlo.
All right, that's that. Thanks a lot, Travis. We appreciate it.
Okay, and we're back, and now we've got our second guest that we're going to interview. I'm here with Jeff Mann, one of the American guests here at Atlantic Security Conference from Tenable. And Jeff, tell us about yourself and what you do at Tenable.
Sure thing. I have a weird role at Tenable. I'm a thought leader, security evangelist, company spokesperson, and my day job is product manager. Tenable hired me about 3 years ago to be the PCI subject matter expert, PCI being the payment card industry, one of the most pervasive compliance programs out there for the past 12 years or so. I was a QSA, a qualified security assessor, doing PCI assessments for the past 10 years until Tenable saved me and brought me over. So they brought me in to primarily to help Tenable figure out how to sell better and tune its products better into the PCI market, as well as I've been in the information security business for over 30 years. So I do a lot of the thought leadership and the presentations, talking, speaking engagements, talking about InfoSec and security in general. And my perspective is a little bit different because I come from primarily a consulting background where I've focused more over the past 20 years in the commercial sector anyway, of the people end of the problems, not just the technology. Whereas in this industry, you know, a lot of companies obviously are trying to sell technology solutions, and a lot of the customers, for various reasons, they end up buying the technology products. And one of the presentations I give, I have a slide that has talks about the problem being that not that there's not a silver bullet solution out there, it's that there's too many silver bullets, that companies have whole magazines filled with silver bullets, and they're still getting popped. There's still major breaches happening. So I try to bring a little bit of perspective to my talks and try to get people to think beyond simply the technology, but how do you effectively use the technology that you necessarily have to have in your environment, not only for business purposes, but for security purposes and IT purposes?
Yeah, so, I mean, those are all really kind of great points. You know, we were talking a little bit earlier about security vulnerabilities, and that's one of the areas that Tenable as a software solution focuses on. In your opinion, kind of what do you see as like the greatest security vulnerability? What should folks be looking for and listening for in their environments? We talked with Travis earlier, and he was focusing on kind of the ransomware side of the fence and put in people securing assets and basically, you know, ransing them off for money based on how much revenue you make. Kind of on the vulnerability side, what are you seeing in that space that the folks in IT and large enterprises should be looking for and focusing their time and efforts around?
So I'll give you a two-part answer. First will be sort of the party line, you know, Tenable perspective. I think from the perspective of simply a software security company, by the way, Tenable's been around for about 14 years, so we're probably one of the oldest security companies out there that haven't become, you know, monolithic, huge security companies, you know, RSA, Symantec types. We've been primarily a small company for about 10 years and focusing really on one thing. And in case your listeners don't know, Tenable owns the Nessus Vulnerability Scanner, which is pretty much the gold standard for the industry for vulnerability scanning technology. So to answer your question from a party line perspective, company perspective, what's the biggest thing out there, the number one vulnerability that is daunting customers these days? It's the next one. the next one that hasn't been discovered yet, or the next one that hasn't been announced yet. But specifically, ransomware is certainly coming up. Malware is a big deal. Basically, the things that are being launched into environments much more anonymously and automatically these days, that don't have the traditional, there's somebody that's actually trying to break into your network that has to gain access and gain a foothold. They can just kind of launch things from wherever. And, you know, they've talked about it several of the keynotes yesterday and talks today, where the human factor, the phishing attacks, the spear phishing attacks, the way you can compromise laptops and mobile devices that are going in and out of the of a corporate environment, in some ways the game has changed, which sort of transitions me to my personal industry professional perspective on the answer to your question. I think the biggest problem is ignorance on behalf of companies and the whole industry, in terms of lack of awareness, lack of people in companies understanding the ramifications of security, understanding the ramifications of their actions or their inactions. We were talking a little bit about how, you know, some of the biggest culprits in companies are the ones that should know better, the admins, that they not only know how to circumvent the security controls, they actually have the privileges to be able to do that. And they think, well, you know, it's okay because I know better and I know what I'm doing. And oftentimes it's not. They end up introducing vulnerabilities, creating the circumstances that allow compromise, and they, you know, sometimes they're even exploited by the phishing attacks and the spear phishing attacks. So, to me, the biggest problem in the industry as a whole is the lack of awareness, of understanding of just basic, fundamental, sound security principles, and because those are lacking, companies too often look to technology solutions to solve their problems. You know, for many years, it's the what I've seen from my customers is, what do I do to make this go away? This being the need to do security, the need to have to follow compliance regulations, you know, PCI, you know, most recently. And I always tell them that, you know, if you have that attitude, you're going to lose. You know, eventually you're going to get popped, because if you think this is something that you just have to do it once and forget about it, set it and forget it, plug and play, whatever you want to call it, you're doomed. You know, so I try to teach them and make them aware that security is not something, or compliance is not something you just set it and forget it. It's something that you do. It's a life cycle. It's an ongoing thing. I tell them sometimes, one of my pet phrases is, security is a verb. It's something you do. It's not a state that you achieve. So if you necessarily understand you need to do security in your company, realize you're signing on for an ongoing day-to-day, this is what you do as part of your lifestyle type of activity.
So related to that, you know, one of the things that I deal with in my practice as an evangelist as well, Clint and I both are, is that we deal with people that have taken on the burden of backup admin or server admin, security admin, right? Something they do. What kind of tips can you offer for the person that, you know, their job title isn't security administrator or security analyst or information security manager? Maybe their organization doesn't have that type of role. It's something that you do, but if it's not what you do, how do you make it something that you do?
It's an interesting question, and it's certainly a daunting question. I remember 20 years ago when I was first getting started in commercial consulting. I'm a former government employee. The customers that I used to have 20 years ago, back in quote unquote the beginning of it all, beginning of the internet and internet security, nobody was a security professional back then either. They were all IT admins, server admins, workstation admins, and they were learning on the fly how to do security. At the various companies that I visited back then, and it's been pretty much true even through, you know, to today, the people, the environments that were the most secure were not the ones that had formal structures, you know, people with declared titles and specific roles. It was organizations where there were one or more people that took ownership of whatever it was that they were responsible for, whether they had the security title or not, and said, nobody's going to get on my box. Nobody's going to compromise this. And they took it upon themselves to do whatever learning, whatever investigating, whatever research they needed to do to make sure that it wasn't going to happen to them. How does that translate? I think what that means is people that that necessarily now have been given the role, that, you know, they were out that day and they came back and found out they're now the CISO or the CSO. You know, to me, it's a matter of taking on the responsibility and, you know, it'd be great if you could have, say you had the experience, but, you know, you need to get the experience. That takes time. In the meantime, study, learn, read. I mean, there's no end to the blogs, the podcasts. I try to avoid the media as much as possible. You know, try to look for the resources that aren't selling something. Because, and that's another problem with the industry, is so many people turn to the experts, but the experts happen to be selling them something. And I say this even though I work for a product vendor. Vendors lie. You know, they want to make their quota. They want to sell what they want to sell you. And, you know, magically, their solution is usually what you need to make your environment secure. If you've been in the business long enough, you know that that might be true to some degree, but most often it's not true, because I've been to so many environments where, you know, the technology's been there, the security technology's been there, and there's still real fundamental problems because they don't know how to use it. Target is a good example. I was aware of Target in the world of PCI, and they had a reputation of having a great security staff, and they took security seriously, and they had a lot of investment in a lot of the technologies, which is necessary. I'm not saying you can't or don't use technology. It needs to be there, and yet they still were blind to something. And, you know, you can read the stories and learn about what were the contributing factors to why Target was breached. But it wasn't the technology. It was the ignorance, the blindness, the apathy, you know, whatever you want to call it. It was the human factor. So, you know, how do you fix the human factor? You got to take it upon yourself to learn. And you know, I've been in the business 33 years, and the more I learn, the more I know I don't know it all. So there's no end to learning. The trick is to try to be effective and you know, find the right things to learn and listen to the right sources. And that can be daunting as well.
Awesome. Well, we really appreciate your time, Jeff. And as Rick and I mentioned earlier, you know, this is the Atlantic Security Conference in Halifax, Nova Scotia. We've had the great opportunity of being joined by several fantastic guests. Jeff, if folks wanted to follow you on Twitter, where would they find you at?
My Twitter handle is at Mr. Jeff Mann. That's MRJEFFMAN. I also have some blog writings that you can find at the Tenable website. That's tenable.com. I'm on LinkedIn as well. I have a few articles up there. Basically, if you Google Jeff Mann and PCI and Tenable, you're going to find some things.
Fantastic. Well, like I said, we appreciate your time. And listeners, be on the lookout for more news coming up about the Vanguard program here in the near future. This is Clinton Rick signing off. We'll see you when we see you.